Weekend Breakfast with Pamela Mutine.
All right, so we seem to have Yasmin back on the line. And this morning, Yasmin, we're discussing New Year's resolutions. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
So I'm very curious as to how many people who had New Year's resolutions a year ago still kept them at this point.
Yeah.
I'm very curious.
Yeah, I'd say probably like 5%. And this is one of the problems with New Year resolutions, right? I mean, the first issue is an issue of language, Pamela. It's like when we say, I am creating a New Year resolution, what are we actually saying? What are we trying to resolve? Because remember, the word resolution comes from the word resolve. So it's a pretty loaded question. It's almost like it's not a clean slate. It's almost like we're saying to ourselves, you know, last year ABCD didn't go so well, so this year I'm actually going to resolve it. So not a great question. And maybe it's time to rework the New Year resolution to get the right language, the right question.
So it's also one of those things where people have the urge to start again, you know, feeling like I can do me again better. I can start again. I can turn a new leaf. So how would one rephrase that if that's the idea of new year, new opportunities, I can try again?
Yeah, and it's a sentimental time, and we do explore internally during this time. But it is about, and like we've spoken about many times, it's about becoming your own shrink, right? Becoming your own therapist in your head. And one of the things about a good therapist, a gifted coach, is that they ask the right questions. So before I get to some of the right questions, can I just tell you a beautiful Einstein quote? You do know that we love Mr. Einstein. A beautiful quote on the importance of questions. He says, you know, if I had an hour to solve a problem and my life depended on it, I would use the first 55 minutes determining the proper questions to ask. So this is the importance of the question. So let's drop the word resolution because it's way loaded. Let's look at what are my intentions for the new year. What are my authentic desires? We've spoken about an authentic desire being a desire that you would want in the absence of fear. We could even dig a little deeper, ask ourselves smart questions like, hey, if I were guaranteed success in 2019, What would I do? What could I allow myself to want? These are the questions that allows us to go deeper, clear questions, neutral questions, not loaded questions like the word resolution.
So how would you know that you're framing your questions differently or better?
You'll probably get better answers, more inspiring answers. You know, one of the problems with New Year intentions is, and generally in terms of clarity, is this bravado thing. You know, as the New Year comes up, we say things like, next year I'm going to go to the gym every single day. You know, and we can hear, and when people say these things to us, and we can actually hear that they're trying to convince themselves rather than us. And in fact, that is what they are actually doing. So the difference here is clarity. Getting really internally clear about what you want. And when you do, when you're really clear about what you want, there's an alignment that happens within. The resources kind of line up within you. And then you feel strong. And so there's no need for a show of strength on the outside because there is strength on the inside created by clarity. So for 2019, we want clear intentions, not bravado.
Okay, so beyond the right question or the right intention, what are the other steps that one can take?
I mean, the first thing to remember is, I mean, I would say, you know, with New Year resolutions, if we can avoid them, to actually rather avoid them, simply because New Year resolutions often don't work. They kind of, as you said in the beginning, how many of us really kept to last year's resolutions? They're bound to fail because of the time in which we make them, right? We're on holiday, we're on some beautiful island somewhere, looking at some beautiful beach, and because of it, we feel really expanded and we have these bigger ideas. But when we come home, a week or two at home, we forget we were even on holiday and we get contracted again. So being on holiday, December time in general, a sentimental time, it's a great time to explore ideas, to gather ideas, to ask beautiful questions. But it's not a time to make resolutions. So that's the first one, right? The first thing is, hey, if you can avoid a new resolution, rather avoid it, because you're bound to fail because of the time you are actually making these resolutions in. But if you really want to go for it, gather the ideas during the holidays, during that break, and then come back and make those resolutions. We say the best time to make New Year resolutions is actually after January 1. You come back, those ideas, you have had time to kind of compost, if you will, within you. You've had time to fill the well. And, you know, there's a resistance to this. This is very funny. When I say to people, hey, you know, one thing, just don't make resolutions before Jan 1. You can see the resistance. People go like, what do you mean? It's almost as though we feel there's like a sense of magic to make these resolutions before New Year's Eve, midnight. And there's no magic. The true magic is always clarity. That's the magic. So the first step to getting what we want is always getting clear about what it is we want. So that's the second one. The third step is, I would say, and maybe not a step, but I mean, if there's anything anybody takes away from this conversation, it's that the best way to keep a New Year resolution is to remove the how from the resolution. Mm-hmm. Meaning the best way to keep a resolution is to focus on the end goal, the end, not the means to an end. So if you really look back on your life, you'll probably realize that the things you have got in your life, the goals you did achieve, when you look back, you're like, wow, I managed to achieve that. But when you really look deeply, you'll realize that how you achieved it didn't play out, didn't pan out the way you thought it would. So very often we get the hows wrong, the means to the end wrong, but the end, we do get them. But the problem is when we focus on the means to the end, it means we are using the power of word, which we must chat about. It means we're using the power of word when we are creating the means to an end, and we can get that wrong. And that always reduces the power of the word, the creative potential within us. So one of the examples, like the difference between an end and a means to an end, right? Let's use the gym example again. You're going to say, in 2019, I'm going to go to the gym every day, a means to an end. The end could be simply, I want a happy, healthy, maybe holy body. Maybe that's the means to the end. Mm. And gym may not be the how to that. Another example is money, right? Often at this time of the year, we hear our clients say things like, you know, in 2019, I want to make 150K per month or whatever it is. And we say, yeah, but money is usually a means to an end. When you are making that kind of money, what do you want to do? Do you want to start your own business? At a point, you want to take a sabbatical. That's the end. So if you focus on the end, the chances of lessening the power of your word is less.
Is that not how we operate in terms of wanting to be pragmatic? And yes, I want to retire. Yes, I want to have a healthy life. But maybe if I convince myself that these are the things that I need to do, we think then we've got this. And because you know what you need to do, you will keep to the resolution.
Yeah. And you know, we often say that a very good way of looking at it, a really beneficial way of looking at it, because we love the planning. Somehow planning makes us safe. Mm. You know, when we have that business plan, when we have those plans, we feel safe in the plan, even though most of the time we know it's not the planning. It's the internal work that counts. So what we often say is that try to remember to not focus on the external, rather focus on the internal. It's almost like the way to look at it is the internal is the source of it all. Mm-hmm. This amazing mind, the power of the word, it's the source, the fountain of it all. And then the external world, what happens on the outside, is almost like the outlet to that fountain, the outlet to that stream. So when you focus internally and you have your ducks in a row and you have clarity, it can't not manifest externally.
So is that because sometimes you don't even know what's required to get to the end? Is that what it is?
And that's the thing, right? We're saying when you use the power of the word to focus on how you're going to get something as opposed to the end result, the chances of weakening the power of word are really high. Because as we were saying, if you look back, very often what you got was great and wow, I did it. But when you really look deeply, you realize, wow, I don't even know how I did that. Oh, wow, I thought it would pan out A, B, C, D, but look at it, like completely left field. And this is also, you know, one of the issues when we say, what happens when we don't keep, to link this back to the power of word, when we say, what happens when we don't keep our New Year resolutions, right? I mean, you know, we think, it was a New Year resolution, it didn't happen, bang, on to the next one, next year, whatever, whatever. But actually, we need to remember that New Year resolutions is about using word, right? And every time we use word and we don't do what we say we're going to do, we weaken the power of word. If we look around us, everything we see around us began as a thought, whether it's the buildings we see, the cars, the computers we're working on, everything began as somebody's thought. And of course, we know we think in words. So, you know, ancient traditions talk about word becomes flesh. They kind of knew what they were talking about. You know, the way it works, the way the power of word works is every time you say you're going to do something and you do it, it's almost as though there's an internal register within you. You say you're going to do something, you do it, and there's a tick. Wow, yes, I've done it. And every time you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, there's a cross on that register. And that register, that balance is the power of your word. And remember, we are the keepers of the word, right? This is how we create evidence-based belief in ourselves. This register with enough ticks, and suddenly we believe that whatever we say will be, that whatever I set out to do, I will do. And so that's why I say, really, one of the best New Year intentions you can make for yourself, you can create, is to simply say, you know what, in 2019, I'm going to simply honor my word. I'm going to be my word. And that's because so much depends on this power of word.
So would you even go as far, and I know you said that maybe the idea is to do it after the holiday, after the lovely, stay at a very quiet, serene space or whatever when you're relaxed. But would you even go as far as saying maybe it's not even such a good idea to have a New Year's resolution? Maybe that's not the way to go.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if we are saying the power of word is what we use to create, you know, then we're going to say that, hey, you don't want to mess with a resolution unless you've done a lot of work on it. So, yeah, if you don't make a resolution, you can't break a resolution. So now, and you know that great saying, when you break your word, you break yourself. Yes. Yeah, so I would say the best way to go forward is let's really drop New Year resolutions. And if we can't, because it is a sentimental time, things do come up, you do want to explore, then do the exploration, do the beautiful questioning, gather the beautiful ideas, but don't make resolutions until you come back, until you've had time to marinate all of this, if you will.
So in general, if we walk away from the season, the silly season and the resolution phase and that time, in general, because we now understand the power of the word,
yeah,
just in your daily life, should you be making promises to yourself? You know, because as you've just said now, the power of the word is so powerful and you don't want to mess with that. Is it something you must be rather extra cautious about making these And I suppose one would call them goals, you know. For some people, they would say, well, I have this goal. People have these charts that they have. Is that too dangerous?
And, you know, we often say goals are dangerous. Rather say this is a desire. This is what I want. And if there's no how in it, then at least you are talking about the end goal. But Pamela, not even goals. I mean, let's just take it one step back, right? We're talking about the power of word. Here in the silly season, we're going to get lots of invitations. People are going to ask you to come to this and that, and you're going to get extended, and you're going to say yes to 8 out of 10 things, and probably only get to 4 events. What's going on there? That's also power of word, right? When you say to a friend, yes, I'm going to come to lunch tomorrow, and then you don't make it. I mean, we don't realize, we talk about big goals and big desires, etc., but every single day we have the opportunity to either strengthen or weaken this power within us. And a nice little tip is what we call the comfort zone. So when you get an invitation or when somebody asks you to do something, because very often we can't help ourselves, right? You know, you want to be there for your friend. You really want to go for that lunch. And yet in that moment when you say, yes, I'm going to be there, a little part of you thinks, goodness, I wonder if I can get off the couch that day because that's my day off. And the day off comes and you don't go to your friend's place, and bang, on that register, there's a little X next to your name. So what the tool we use here is the comfort zone. So we say, before you make any commitment to anybody, ask yourself how far out of the comfort zone will it be to do what you're being asked to do. And if it's more than 20%, and this amazed me the first time, if it's more than 20% out of your comfort zone, forget 50%, if it's more than 20% out of your comfort zone, the chances of you making it to that friend's lunch is almost zero. On the day, you're going to have to make excuses, feel guilty, power of the word reduced. So when that happens, and this takes practice, you know, this takes practice to go, wait, hold on, let me get back to you. And it's okay. Hello, there you go. Another one, you know, when somebody asks us something, we feel compelled that we've got to give an answer right there and then. No, actually, we can say, let me think about it. Let me get back to you. Can I let you know a little before time? And then think about it. If it's more than 20% out of the comfort zone, rather tell your friend early, I don't think it's going to happen.
So practically, what are the consequences or examples of consequences of not honoring the power of your word?
I mean, look, we are saying that, and this is, you know, these are psychological tools, but these are also, you know, we would call them universal principles. And this is a hard question, like practically, like, you know, give me a practical example. If I don't honor my word, what can happen? What can happen? And this is not how it works. Right? This is a gradual thing that builds up over years, over months. But you will see that as soon as you start honoring your word, that little register starts changing, and you will immediately tell that your world changes very, very quickly. You will feel strengthened by your own power of your word. Remember, we said that this little internal register within you, the ticks and the crosses, that's you, right? That's a part of your subconscious doing this work. So eventually, there comes an evidence-based belief in yourself, like you are doing the ticks and the crosses. You know, hey, I am being my word, and when you are being your word, people can feel it, right? You know somebody who says, yeah, I think I'm going to make, yeah, I'll be there at lunch, and somebody who says, yeah, I'll be there, and you'll know the difference. So people pick up the strength within you, this clarity within you, this integrity within you, because power of word is integrity too, right? So as soon as, and we don't live on islands, right? We are co-creating, working with others all the time. So when others feel that we are being true, that we have integrity about our word, they help us get to where we want to go faster, because we're working with people all the time to get where we want to go.
Are the consequences the same even if you were not directly the reason why things didn't work out? So you've promised yourself something and you are not responsible for why you didn't get there. Are they the same effects consequence-wise?
Ooh. Ooh, you know, Pamela, you know that lovely saying of how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? And, you know, great, great philosophers, great thinkers have said this is an either or. And it's a very difficult one because it's an either or. Either you take complete responsibility that you are weaving your way in the world, that you are weaving what you are living every day, or you aren't. It's one of the two. And if we're going to say, hey, you know, on this level, yeah, I'm creating, but on this is what happened. It was out of my control. So it really depends how far down the rabbit hole you want to go. But the great philosophers have told us, you've got to make a choice. It can't be an either or. It's either you are creating it all, you are weaving it all, and therefore it's complete responsibility, which is so difficult, or you're not creating anything and you can sit back and enjoy the ride. Very, very difficult.
Yasmin Engelbrecht there, who is our life coach, and that conversation will be available as a podcast.